Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in school, I remember getting grades, and I think there was one or two times maybe where I got a grade and it wasn't an A or a B or a C or a D or even an F. It was a different letter. An I. You know what that stands for? Yeah, incomplete. I didn't like getting incompletes. I don't think I got too often, but when I got it, what's this I? What happened? And then I learned, it's incomplete. Incomplete? Did the teacher forget to do something? It probably wasn't the teacher, it was probably me, I can't remember. But you start thinking things through, and this is terrible, and yeah, that's worse than F. F is here, I is down here, right? That's not good. I, incomplete. And I think I hate it, too, because I think you could rearrange the letters and come out with the word nincompoop. Incomplete, nincompoop. If I look around today, I also think of things that are incomplete, and sometimes I don't like it. Even though things take time, I understand. For example, our kids, not all the kids here are yet for communing, some of them just by age, and some of it by learning and taking the time, the patience to do it. And not everybody's confirmed yet, right? We don't have everybody confirmed, so we want to do that. But it's incomplete, not yet done. There are people out in our community. They're not yet churched. You look around, there are open seats today. We had a big full house last week. Today, there's lots of open chairs. Not everybody's coming back to grow in that word. There's some incompleteness that we can detect even here today. People who are living in the wrong religion. We see it on TV. We read it in books. We even encounter some people that in their life. And what do we say? Knowing what we know about the death and resurrection of Jesus, you are living an incomplete life. Not yet growing in the Word, not yet receiving the gifts and growing in love for others through faith in Jesus. And there's projects and places that we all have that are incomplete, places that we haven't yet seen and want to see, or projects, I want to get this done, and yet it's incomplete. Challenges to this world yet to be resolved, terrorism, peace in the Middle East, nuclear disarmament, all those things that are incomplete. We say, when will they be resolved? Oh Lord, when? That's why we should really appreciate the epistle reading today from Revelation chapter 1, Mr. Vesper read. The revelation to John, wonderful thing to thank God about, because there's a lot here that is done, completed, and you see it in the text. It's really good. First, the sevens that are in the text. Seven, 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 seven. Did you hear all the sevens? John to the seven churches there in Asia. Seven. Why seven? Well, think back to the Old Testament. We know of seven right away in the first chapter of the Bible. There are 7 days in a week, right? On the seventh day, God looked at all the work that he had completed, and he rested. And therefore, seven has always been associated in the scriptural way with a number of completion. Seven. So to say to the seven churches that are in Asia is like the complete number of all the churches that were there. Seven. Completed. But wait, there's more. Did you see in the text there's more than just the seven churches? There are seven spirits before the throne. There are seven golden lampstands, which Jesus appears in between the midst of. There are seven stars that he holds in his hand. Seven, seven, seven. Heaven is really a sevenly place. In other words, heaven is really a completely glorious, wonderful, completed place. And if you don't like that letter I on your grades, if you don't like incompleteness in life, well, when you get to heaven, complete. Completeness. It's a source of comfort. Good to know. Second, the completed language. In the epistle, to him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, completely, not in part. Did you hear the language there? It's done, completed, made. It's not like is making you to be a, or is freeing you from your sins. No, he has freed us. That's done. Completed in the past, in the bag. Good Friday, what did Jesus say? It is finished. And that's something we rejoice in this Easter season. Something that's not a big eye hanging over our head. I think Jesus had an eye above his head on the cross. Did he? Inri, right? Incomplete, right? I-N. No. Instead, for Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. But you see in it the completeness of God, having done something that is in the bag, done for you completely. And even the praise that John offers there on the island, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Completed kind of praise. Through Jesus' cross and the open tomb, God has been there, done that, in the bag, destroyed sin and death forever. And what do we say? Hallelujah. Or Jesus says, tetelestai. It is finished. Third, a vision in our text today of a more glorious Jesus than we've ever seen in Scripture up till now. A great Easter glimpse of the completion of the glorification of Jesus due to his cross and his open tomb, the victory of Easter by which he justifies us completely when we believe in these things, believing that we have eternal life. He justifies us completely, it says in Scripture, by his death and his rising again to life. And now up in heaven, he's being glorified, completely glorified, and he even appears different. And John reports that to us. The vision, it says, one like a son of man. That's an Old Testament language. Now we're in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the completeness. There he is, one like the son of man. Clothed in a long robe with a golden sash, hairs completely white like wool or like snow, eyes like a flame of fire, feet like burnished bronze, a voice like a roar of many waters. In his right hand, what's in his right hand? Seven stars. Wow. From his mouth, a two-edged, double-edged sword, and his face shining like the sun, a glorious vision of Jesus unlike any other in glory. He completed the trajectory from heaven above to earth and now back up to heaven. You see, that trajectory that started out, the plan, the foundation before the world, that's been completed, and that's why he looks this glorious and wonderful and marvelous like a son of man. It is truly God there in Christ Jesus. There he is. Wow. All completely astounding. And when John sees this vision of Jesus, what does he do? He falls over like he's dead at Jesus' feet. Like, I guess my life is done. When you see something that great. But Jesus takes his mighty arm, puts it on him, and he says, fear not. I am the living one. I died, and I'm now alive forevermore. It's okay, John. Behold, I have the keys to death and Hades. Compare that, my friends, to the humble vision that really wasn't a vision in today's gospel. Jesus, the not yet glorified Jesus, but yet glorified by his wounds and that he's walking, talking about, breathing again, eating fish. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, in a bit more humble way in this revealing to a John, to John the gospel writer, and to the man he reports that has a little trouble believing until he sees, Thomas. In both encounters, Jesus speaks, both in the heavenly revelation and also in the Easter revealing. In both texts, the epistle and the gospel, there are some keys being referenced to. Jesus says, in Revelation, I have the keys to death and Hades, capital D, capital H. But the keys that are mentioned in John's gospel says this. He breathed on them, and he says, receive ye the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone, if you unlock the sins of anyone, they're unlocked. But if you bind them, if you withhold them, they're withheld. In both Easter visions, you show Jesus as the one having the keys to unlock and to bind and to lock up. And in John's gospel, he gives them as assurance to the apostles that they have his power to forgive, to unlock heaven, which is what Jesus has done through his cross and his open tomb. He's unlocked heaven so that we can enter in. And our purpose, O people of God, O church, to unlock that door for others too, through the forgiveness of sins, showing them the way to Jesus, unhindered by sin and death, unhindered by the law, freely, completely yours through faith in the grace and the love that is in Jesus Christ. Which day of the week did Thomas come and see Jesus, or Jesus come and see Thomas and reveal these things to him? What day? Well, it said in the text, on the first day, Jesus came to the apostles and Thomas wasn't there. Then it said, 8 days later. 8 days. You know what eight is? 7 plus 1. 7 stops here, right? 8 keeps on going. That's the day of eternity. You want to talk about 7 being a complete day? 8 is even more complete than that. And what Thomas sees and what the vision for us is today of seeing the risen Jesus is to hold on to that 8th day reality. 8 is the number of salvation. 8 people saved in the ark, Noah's ark. 8, often the sides of baptismal fonts, 8-sided often. The number of salvation on the 8th day, that's when Jesus appeared to Thomas. And we should rejoice in the completeness now that Jesus was dead, alive, revealing himself, showing to Thomas, look at the wounds, touch and see for yourself, stop disbelieving and believe. What a glorious vision. What a great complete vision. And yet, there's one big incomplete, isn't there? In the language of Revelation, he says, I am the living one. I am the first and the last. That sounds complete. But then he says, it also says, he who is and who was and is to come. Now that's a big incomplete, meaning that there is something else to come. Even though all this is done, it's in the bag, it's completed, it's finished, the telestai, there is still something yet called the consummation. The consummation. That's when truly everything will be complete. Our lives are yet to be completely filled out, are they not? We still have days yet on this earth, children to bring up in the faith, pews to fill through sharing the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done for them. God wants more people in heaven. Thanks be to God. He's given us time. Know your purpose, O people of God, who have heard, not seen, and yet believed. Share in this good news. Share the revelation of Revelation and the revelation of St. John of the glorified Jesus there in human flesh and blood. Touch and see, hear and believe, and hear the confession that Thomas makes. My Lord, my God, your Lord. Your God, looking out of the world and at our children, your Lord, your God. Help them to see the Easter vision bright and know that there is a big incomplete that doesn't bother us because of how much already is complete. The consummation, the glorious vision that is to come. Praise be to God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the Easter faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.